I would like to welcome all of you for this evening of Krishna Katha, which is an evening I have been looking forward since a long, long time. I always wish to do this, and I want to tell you a little bit brief as everyone settles in, why we do this. Now, I think we need one person before we start. One person who is willing to take care of guests who come. Maybe some of the guests will have children which make a lot of noise. Maybe some of the guests will faint or whatever. Maybe there can be just someone of you who is a little mindful of the needs of the guests so that we can offer them proper Vaishnava hospitality. Because during the class, guests will maybe like to come and see the darshan and they of the deities, and they might not feel invited to come, and they stay outside. Is there someone whom you, what would you say, Yoga Mataji? Sorry? You didn't hear. I should be louder. I think we need someone who takes care of guests and their needs. Like when some guests have children who don't feel and so on. Is it someone who just have an eye on guests? Could you do this? Maybe you can stay, take part in it and just take care. Maybe some guests come and they want to see the deities, but they feel because something is going on in the temple that they can't come, you can guide them. But most important is to take care that we maintain a meditative atmosphere in the temple room. You are a yoga practitioner, so you know how important peace is. Thank you. So, I would like you to invite you, also my internet audience, to an evening of Krishna Katha. In the Gaudiya tradition, our sacred tradition, it is described that Krishna never comes alone. He always comes with his Swarup Shakti, Radha Rani. So in the same way, the holy name never comes alone. He's always associated with Krishna Katha, or talking about Krishna. These two, the holy name and talks about Krishna, belong together just like Krishna and Radharani belong together. They always are there, and they always need to be there together. So in our evening program this evening, we will bring these two things, we will bring these two together, Krishna's holy name and talks about Krishna, Krishna Katha. This is a very important exercise in our spirituality, because we really wish that in our Krishna consciousness we remember Krishna always and never forget him. So for that we require these two, the holy name and talks about Krishna. I will talk with you, to you, very thick Krishna Katha, as it is done in the villages of Braj, as it is done in the many assembly of devotees. When devotees come together, they really only do this. They sing Krishna's holy name and they listen to him. We will not talk now about psychology, skills and techniques. That's for tomorrow. Now we will just relax in Krishna consciousness by hearing about Krishna's glories. all I request you is to sing, as we sing the holy name, nicely and with full attention, and then to hear about Krishna with full attention. And you will make a wonderful experience in your own Krishna consciousness, and maybe taste some of the happiness and joy of feeling the closeness of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yes, an old Japa retreat. Maha Devi. Yes. Our deities still have your wonderful dresses and decorations. Nice to see you, Haribo. Hare. Hare.
Hare Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vedas, the origin of this vast compendium of knowledge, which contained the knowledge of pure and impure. But here he was sitting at the bank of the Yamuna with his cowherd boyfriends and eating from their plates. He would tell them, look at the birds, and as they looked and followed the birds with their glances, he would lean over and steal food from their plates. How could this be God? This is not very clean. Bewildered by Maya, Brahma thought, this is someone else. It's not God. And to test Krishna, he stole away his cowherd boyfriends, waiting, what would he do now? But Krishna only expanded his internal potency and created as many cowherd boyfriends as Brahma had stolen. When Brahma returned after a full year, he saw that everyone was still there. Quickly, he began to approach the cave and open the caves in which he had hidden the cowherd boys. But he saw they are there. When he returned to again inspect the scene, he saw Krishna surrounded with the cowherd boys, and with one quick move, Krishna showed what he had done. And as Brahma looked again, he saw these cowherd boys were Vishnu forms. Krishna, he saw, is the original Vishnu who's there in everyone's heart. And he had expanded himself into analogous cowherd boys, the same ones which Brahma had stolen. Now Brahma saw Krishna with eyes of knowledge. He didn't see anyone any longer. He's an impure person who steals food. He saw he is the supreme personality of Godhead. And he came down from his swan, fell at Krishna's lotus feet with helmets banging against each other and said, please, my Lord, forgive me. I have not seen your greatness. Krishna smiled and he thought, that's correct. You have not seen my greatness, when you saw me expanding into these Vishnu forms, you have not seen even an atomic particles of my glories. I will show you now, because you are my devotee. And at that time, Krishna manifested from his heart a spiritual, splendorous city in the distance. And Brahma saw that city, he could understand, inside that city is my Lord. I want to find him, and I want to be with him. And he went with careful steps, a little hesitating, because he had just done an offense by separating Krishna's friends from him. He approached that door. When he knocked at the entrance gate of the city, something amazing happened. Imagine you will want to enter the temple and you knock at the big two doors and they open, and Brahma saw the doors of the city of transcendence open. He saw an eight-headed being and he almost fainted. Studied our Brahma with foreheads and similarly felt. He said, "Who are you?" And Brahma said, "Who are you?" The eight-headed Brahma said, "I'm of course Brahma. I never heard of a four-headed Brahma. Such a small quantity of heads is very, very modest." "I thought I'm the smallest. I have seen 16-headed Brahmas, 32-headed Brahmas, million-headed Brahmas, but I have never seen such a modest person as you with four heads. You can't be Brahma. I don't think you have the intelligence to create a universe with four heads. You need more intelligence." The face of our Lord Brahma dried up. And he said, "I know in this city of transcendence is the answer to all my questions. Let me in. Please let me in." But the eight-headed Brahma said, "You're not qualified. If you, with your modest heads, you will just not understand anything which you will see inside the city. I have been instructed to not let in anyone who has less than eight heads. But wait, I will go and maybe I can obtain permission." So while Brahma stood there with a dried up face, Anantadeva, the mystical bed of Vishnu, arrived. Brahma saw Anantadeva with his many hoops, and he paid down his humble obeisances in the dust and said, "Please, please, Krishna hinted at this city of transcendence and said I should meet him. Can you bring me inside and meet Krishna?" Anantadev looked at him and said, "Who are you exactly?" "Well," said Brahma, "I am the creator of the universe, am I not?" Krishna always does this with his devotees whom he wishes to give his darshan. he first needs to make them humble. You know everything, maybe from your own experience even. Those who look through the eyes of pride, I am this, I am that, will never ever behold Krishna. Our Brahma fainted when he was not allowed to enter the city because of his disqualifications. When he woke up from his swoon, he remembered and he said to Ananda Dev, who patiently had waited, I understand, I'm very small. I understand I'm not entitled to visit Krishna. But I have one qualification. I'm the father of four good devotees. I'm the father of the four Kumaras. Let me in on that strength. Ananda said, I have to get permission from Krishna personally. He went to Govinda and asked, and Govinda smiled and said, let him in. I called him. As Brahma entered the city of transcendence, as he passed through the gate, he saw before him hundreds of doors, and he did not know what door shall I take to see the Lord. This is analogous. You may be humble, you may be even very qualified in devotion, but do you know the door? Do you know your own true path to Krishna? You know it only when it is shown to you. So Ananta showed him the right door, and as he opened it, he went in, our Brahma went into a beautiful assembly hall. In that assembly hall, my dear devotees, he beheld countless of Brahmas, countless Shivas, Ganeshas, Vishnu, the Deva Rishis, the Chandras, the Suryas. But he looked through all of this. He wanted to see the Lord, who had arranged his purification. And he looked towards a throne. The throne looked a little bit like this throne, which you can see here. It was golden. There was a canopy. And there was an effulgence. A strong, strong effulgence coming from it. This effulgence was so strong that he could not see through it. Later, the Upanishad has spoken about this effulgence. The Upanishad has said, O Krishna, please remove the golden effulgence which covers your face, your smiling face. Take it away. Take it away. I want to see you. But as a closed lotus will never show its fragrant flower dust, Krishna, who had covered himself with an effulgence, did not show his smiling face to Brahma. Krishna sat on that throne, surrounded by Lalita and the Sakis, and they laughed. Brahma could hear the laughter. He could sense the joy. But he was not allowed to behold his Lord. Do you sometimes have that feeling in your Krishna consciousness? you can sense the joy, the bliss of the spiritual world, but you are yet not allowed to enter. The grandfather of the universe, Brahma, got down on his belly and he prayed to Ananda, "Where is my Govinda? Where is the Lord? I know he's hiding behind the glaring effulgence. Due to my offenses, I'm unable to see the Lord. I can only see his glaring effulgence." And as Brahma thought about his fortune to be close to the Lord but not be able to behold him, he thought, "I'm the cursed entity of this universe. People praise me as the creator, but I'm not qualified to see my Lord." And he cried tears. He entered the crying school, which all of you have to enter one day. Because only when your tears wash away the material dirt from your vision will you see the Lord. There's no other price than your tears. Your tears of longing, which have to purify your vision. Now Madhava is very kind to his devotees. When he saw Brahma crying in eagerness, he gave him a vision of his eternal form. And there Brahma saw the Lord dressed in a yellow dhoti, with ankle bells tinkling ever so sweetly. As he looked up, he saw the navel of his Lord, which was as deep as the entire universe. He saw the broad shoulders with a yellow shawl and a garland made of 5 different colors. And he looked at the Lord's face, which had earrings shaped like the sharks, which were swinging back and forth and illuminating the cheeks with a light. And then he saw Krishna's lavanya. What is a lavanya? Look at this mother pearl, which has come from the depths of the ocean. If you look close to the mother, into the mother pearl, you seem to be able to lose yourself in the lavanya. The lavanya is a particular effulgence of sweetness, which surrounds the Lord of sweetness. Lord Madhava smiled and he said, "You are excused. You will be born in Kali Yuga. There you will see me in my most merciful form, the form of Gauranga." Please say, "Gauranga." And when you look into the effulgence from Gauranga's body, you will be delivered. My dear Brahma, you need to go in the school of Dainya, of humility. You will be born as a Yavana. In the Yavana's home, you will look for me day in and day out, and I will appear to you in my most merciful form, in the form of my names. You will be tested a few times, but by my mercy cross all those tests. Brahma, I love you, and I'm giving you this school so that you can finally come to me. Thus spoke the Lord of Mercy and disappeared with the Rishis, the Vedas, the city of transcendence, and Brahma found himself in a little body. He had been taken birth again. But he always remembered that Lavanya, that waves of sweetness and love which emanated from Madhava. He behaved very humbly. He drank only milk. He was blessed with the memories of his past life. And he chanted. He chanted the Lord's name, because the Lord had promised him, I will come to you, Brahma. I come to you. I will come to you in my most merciful incarnation. Very soon, we will hear about Brahma's tests in the form of Haridas Thakur. Let us give this baby in which Brahma the Creator took birth in order to learn something about Krishna consciousness, which all of us have to learn. Let us leave this boy for a moment, the small boy Haridas, who drinks only milk. He needs time to grow up. In the meantime, we will sing. And when he has grown up, it will be in a very brief time, we will observe his life and learn with him. But sing now, sing with eyes of longing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. you, Yavana, why do you dare to say that the chanting of the holy name can erase the sins of previous lifetimes? This does not work. Because you lie, may your nose fall off. That's what the curse. He was challenged. Imagine you, Gaj Kishore, someone gets on your case and says, you are a liar, you are a cheater, may your nose fall off. Haridas answered very calmly. In the Bhagavatam, it said that the holy name alone is sufficient to liberate anyone. This Brahmana didn't believe. He cursed and cursed and cursed. And finally, his nose fell off. My dear devotees, that was not all. Haridas Thakur was persecuted, to be publicly executed. You live in America and not in Germany. Public executions are not known to you. We know this. Still in German towns you can see iron chains with iron collars where those who were committed to be criminals were chained and they were flogged in the public. Ah. Haridas Thakur was flogged, whipped in 21 streets. No one could tolerate this flogging. He was whipped. As he was whipped, he called to the Lord, please forgive them. They want to kill me. But please forgive them. Don't come and punish them. He was so merciful. He certainly knew the emotional traffic light. He forgave them. He didn't react. Later, Mahaprabhu called Haridas and said, oh Haridas, when you were whipped in 21 marketplaces, I was ready to come with my chakra to punish and kill the offenders. But you said, don't do it. You said, save them. Haridas, you forced me to do something which I only do to my dear devotees. Look, Haridas, look, look. And Gauranga turned around, and when Haridas looked at the beautiful golden body of the Lord from the back vision, he saw there were streams, blood-filled streams, showing that Gauranga himself had appeared from the spiritual world to take the beatings on his own back. Haridas Thakur swooned. He came through all the tests victorious, but finally came the biggest test. And it will be very, very good for you to hear about this test, because this biggest test will also come to you before you can go back home, back to Godhead. Maya Devi, the personified material energy, came. And because Hari Haridas Thakur was the topmost of devotees, she came with the topmost challenge. Listen, those who are brahmacharis, don't faint. Those who are married men, don't escape this room when it will become very intense with the presence of Maya, whom we will invoke for a moment. Fasten your seatbelts. Haridas sat at the bank of the Ganga in a cave. Full moonlight was there. The waves looked with a dazzling shimmer. Suddenly, he heard something.
Said, Mother, I have committed myself
to my quota of rounds. Let me finish, and after this, I will satisfy whatever desire is there. And he chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Not like that. Chanted completely different. You will hear his difference to our chanting in a moment. If you chant like Haridas chanted, you would never be in Maya. So, after 3 days, Maya Devi came with a knowing smile. She said, for 3 days, Haridas, you have cheated me. Now I will offer you my obeisances. You have defeated me. I am the illusory energy. I have come here to test you. I have previously captivated the mind of even Lord Brahma, not to speak of others. But your mind alone, I have failed to attract. You are the foremost devotee. Simply seeing you and hearing you has purified my consciousness. The Maya Devi said something so sweet. There's a flood of love of God due to the incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whoever does not float in that flood is cursed and condemned. I am most condemned. Up till now, I have chanted the names of Shiva, 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 Mahadeva, Shambhu. And this gives one liberation. But now, the incarnation of love of God has appeared. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, and who gives love to Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. Please, I'm the maidservant of Krishna, but I don't love Krishna with this pure love. Please introduce me to the chanting. Initiate me into the chanting. I want to also have love of Krishna. You may say, I don't have any faith that Maya Devi was conquered by Haridas. Impossible. I can't conquer her. I'm trying since 6 years, but I still am what I am. A cheetah mask is a devotee. But my dear devotees, you should have faith. Brahma came, Shiva came, the four Kumaras all took their birth, Narada, Prahlad, they came disguised as humans, they all came to taste love of God. What is the wonder if the main servant of Krishna, Maya Devi, also came? And do you know how you can get this love? Do you know what Krishna wanted to show Brahma? You, when he sent him to go down as Haridas, you can get love of God only through the devotees who have this. So now Maya Devi stood before this foremost of devotees. Give me your mercy. Give me the chanting of the holy names, and then I will get love. My dear devotees, why was Haridas successful in sending Maya away? What was his secret? You can say he chanted, but you are also chanting. Why are you slightly successful in sending Maya away and Haridas supremely successful? Haridas chanted with full absorption. He was always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, the feminine poses with Maya Devi exhibited were just like the crying in a deep forest where no one hears if someone cries or not. Maya will come to you, to you, to you, to you, to you, to you, to you. She will test you. Don't think, said Prabhupada, that Maya cannot come in the temple. Maya is a devotee. Why should she have darshan? She comes in the temple. You will be able to give up Maya when you become Namabhishta, absorbed in thinking of Krishna and then chanting his holy names. My dear devotees, we will soon enter into a very delightful Krishna Leela. I request you to come with me very soon to Vrindavan, to that form of Krishna which ultimately was revealed to Brahma when he took birth as Haridas Thakur. I will go with you into the forest of Vrindavan, taking the lead of the previous acharyas in our glorious tradition. And you will see before your eyes a scene. But first, you will need to chant with your mind absorbed in Krishna. See this cloth, my dear devotees. See the color of this cloth. It was not always like this. It was white as snow when we purchased it. But some devotees took it to a pot full of saffron dye, and by the contact with the dye, this cloth absorbed the dye. May your minds become blue, so blue. May your minds become dyed. Let your mind, your material mind, dye so that it becomes dyed with the color of Krishna's beautiful form, his nature, his smile. And this will happen to you if you learn to take this gift of the holy name. You will enter your sacred space where you will meet Krishna and come out of that space with a mind which is absorbed in Krishna. When you learn to chant with absorption, what could be a better school than now in New Vrindavan before the deities who are opened in the association of serious devotees who've gone on retreat? Please join all of these devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare. As you sing, enter your heart space conceptually, and there meet Krishna, huh? In the holy name. You need to bring your mind to Krishna. Sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
With your heart and your mind, bring your mind there.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna decided to teach him a lesson in humility. He invited him to come to a show of his splendor in the town of transcendence. Rama was first not permitted, but then eventually when he remembered his four devotees, the four Kumaras, four devotee children. He was allowed entry, and still he could not see Krishna with Radharani. Krishna was covered with effulgence, like we have heard in the Ishopanishad, the golden effulgence of the Brahman. And when Brahma started to cry, wanting to see his Lord, the Lord removed that effulgence. But he only showed himself in a singular form. Brahma was not entitled to see Krishna with his dearest devotee Radharani and the Sakis. He had to be born as Haridas Thakur, and he had to be tested. Gold, in order to become splendorous, has to go through a fire of ordeal. The Bhaktas, since time immemorial, including the Bhaktas of Nuvindavan, have also gone through fires of ordeals, so that they become more pure, more desirous. Then Haridas Thakur was ready. Mahaprabhu once called him. It was during the ecstasy of the 21 hours. And he said, Haridas, what do you want? Haridas said, I only want life after life to eat the remnants of the devotees. He was humble. He didn't say, like he said in Lord Brahma, I want to see you, I think I'm qualified. At that time Mahaprabhu showed Haridas Thakur Syam Sundar Krishna, the most confidential aspect of Krishna. And today, at the conclusion of our little katha evening, I would like to take you to a very sacred scene. I would like to take you to the scene which takes place in the spiritual world before 6 o'clock in the Brahma Muhurta time, when the devotees of Krishna sing his glories, chant his name. I'm now entering a very sacred space, and yes, thank you for having been sensitive enough. If you have children who need your care, please take care of them outside the temple room. This morning, we have heard about the sacred space. We have learned so far 2 techniques to enter there. Become aware of you as a soul. The second is take an observer role. But this is really the yogic way. It has been taught to us by our exalted spiritual master. What we will do now is another way. We will go the devotional way. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the sacred space in the heart with these words. Deep within one's heart of hearts is the most charmingly beautiful place, Sri Vrindavan Dham. It is completely surrounded by the sparkling river Yamuna. The Yamuna encircles the 3 sides of the meeting place, the yoga pit, and connects the 4th by a canal. So there's an island in the heart. No? Within that Vrindavan, is a charming place where the earth is made of shimmering gold, wish fulfilling. It is surrounded by vast expanses of intricately landscaped forest, groves and bower houses. He explains further that there is a palace. Next to the palace, a little behind, stands a wish-fulfilling tree which overshades this palace. And in this palace, there is a throne which looks like an eight-petaled lotus flower. And on that throne is the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. He says, my dear mind, now listen to me. First of all, I want you to meditate upon one partner of this divine couple. And he starts with Krishna. This one person has a complexion as lustrous as a fresh storm cloud. Begin right now and just remember, first and foremost and for all eternity, Krishna's attractively sweet, gentle smile. When you think about Krishna, think about his smile, his gentle smile, his kind, loving smile. Prabhupada has said that Krishna is the friend of all living entities and of all his qualities, many qualities. One shines supreme, that is his Bhakta Vatsalya quality. He's the friend of his devotees, even the struggling devotees like you and me. Think about his smile. The smile of Krishna will dry out the ocean of tears which has been made out of the collective tears of all the Jiva Buddhas, the bound souls in this world. So we will enter this place now, and we will hear something and sing something.
Kannst du eine andere Musik machen, das auch eine andere, auch mit Flöte?
It is early in the morning. Radha and Krishna are still resting inside one of these kunjas. Kunjas are like little forest houses, you know, made with vines and flowering vines. They have an inner apartment usually. Can you imagine a building made out of vines and trees? Then you have a kunja. And it has something like a terrace for Mohan, Radha, Krishna together with everyone. It's a wonderful scene is there. Radha and Krishna inside the kunjas on a flower bed, and outside there are these small little manjaris, the servant girls who sit there. They are already awake and they make garlands. They talk very softly about their love for the divine couple. They clean some items, dishes in which food can be served. They prepare for a day of seva. In the background stands Vrinda Devi, the goddess of the forest of Vrindavan, who is slightly worried. Soon the sun will rise and the divine couple are not yet awakened. That means they will arrive late at their homes. And this again will mean that their love for each other will not pass unnoticed by their elders. So Vrinda Devi thinks, I really need to wake them up. Now, normal people, to wake some people, send an alarm clock in, you know. But Vrinda Devi brings the best of birds. Let the birds wake them up by their twittering. Twitter, twitter, twitter. So these birds come into the conch and start to sing most melodiously. They perch on the branches. They look at the beauty of Radha and Krishna. The soft, sweet chirping awakens the divine couple from their slumber. Radha and Krishna wake up. They are not yet aware that the other is there, but will also wake up. But they are very afflicted with the thought that soon they have to go and return home, independent of each other. And they pretend to go back to sleep. Again, Vrinda Devi sends birds who sing a little bit louder. One of these birds is a parrot. This parrot comes in this world as Shukadeva Goswami, who also sings. What does he sing? The Bhagavatam. Why does he sing it? To waken all of us up. If you want to wake up from the slumber of Maya, hear the song of Shukadeva Goswami. Hear the Bhagavatam. So Vrinda Devi has these two pet parrots. One is called Daksha, the skillful one, and the other Vishakshana, the wise one. And they begin to sing. I want to translate the song for you. Oh Lord, please get up. You inundate the whole world with your sweetness. If you don't hurry, your love for Radha will be broadcast everywhere. Are you not the moon rising over the milk ocean of Nanda's heart? You are the flower on the vine of Mother Yashoda's love for you. So he reminds them, there's Nanda and Yashoda. You love them so dearly. You like the moon over the ocean of Nanda's affectionate heart. And you are like the best of flowers in the vine of Yashoda's love. Go home. Leave the banks of the river Jamuna and delight your friends at home. Then they become very, Daksha, he's very skillful in poetry, starts to sing. Do you want to know now a little poetry? He says, the stars have disappeared from the sky, like the pearls which have fallen down from a broken necklace. Please, go home. What will your elders say if they catch you here? God and Krishna have so much love, they don't want to go separately. One to Nanda Bhavan, one and the other to Vasana. And Vrinda Devi knows there's only one remedy now. And she sends the remedy. It's an old female monkey called Kakati, who always makes a noise. Kakati says, Yatila comes. And Radha Krishna, get quickly up. Krishna has thrown away his flower garland and he goes. think for a moment how Krishna goes home. Krishna goes alone on the path through Vrindavan. He cranes his neck in longing to see Radha. Shyama looks to the right. He searches with his eyes for his anxious lover Radharani. Thus, before the Brijavasis get up, Radha and Krishna sneak into their homes. They come there and engage in pastimes and think of each other. My dear devotees, this is the beauty of Vrindavan. This Leela in Vrindavan has two dimensions, one in meeting, one in separation. The Leela of Vrindavan spells out a secret teaching to all of us. If you want to meet Radha Krishna one day, you have to wake up in the school of separation. If you want to be able to go back home, back to God, and feel your own emptiness, the emptiness which comes because of having given up Radha Krishna, don't try to do what most of us, including myself, are so expert in, to fill the emptiness of our heart with meaningless diversions. Only when you face the emptiness, it's not all right. I'm missing you, Radha Krishna. When I cry, I only cry for you, although I would give my tears other names if I'm asked. Face that separation which Gauranga Mahaprabhu taught by his own example when he said, God, Krishna, where is Krishna who has risen over the ocean of Nanda Maharaj's dynasty? Where is he who plays the flute so enchantingly? Have you ever refrained from drinking a whole day, maybe on Bhima Nirjala Ekadasi? On the next day, did someone have to tell you to drink water now? No. Every cell in you wanted water because you were empty. When you can understand your emptiness, which is due to not being in Krishna consciousness, when you can understand that there's a crisis in the heart, the most precious part of your heart, the core of your heart, that is the innermost section in which you and the Lord reside for eternal times, is still not always open to you. When you can face that and not now do a million of other things to divert yourself from this, then there's a good chance that you will become rich. Rich in the coins of eagerness, dense yearning, longing, which will bring you to Krishna, which Rupa Goswami at our exalted own Srila Prabhupada told to be the only prize to get Krishna. Haridas Thakur had this wealth. As when he was Brahma, he thought he's the creator of the universe. But when he was Haridas, he understood, I long for Krishna, I need Krishna. His love for Krishna, his yearning for Krishna was expressed in the chanting of the holy name. We will sing one last time now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Take you away, go again
through one stroke you today. One stroke means what caught your special attention, so that you solidify the experience. I regret that I can't really work with you as a baker works on the dough of the bread, because it's a weekend thing, but I do hope to give you a few impetuses which will inspire you to go further in any directions where you feel some lightest dawning, some little realization, some understanding, some sweet desire. Thank you very much. And there's one last thing to be said. Good night. Hare Krishna.